sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like
welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Pastor Cox. How are you tonight?
Well, I am blessed, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph, and I've heard that about both of you.
Amen. Amen. Well, looking forward to a good program tonight. I know you got a couple callers, so I'll sure let you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody tonight to Hope is Alive. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday evening. We took last week off. Had some family matters to attend to. It was nothing serious. It was just enjoyment of the family. But we are glad to be back here again. And if you have any questions, or maybe you're wondering what is Hope is Alive, well, it's the show about deliverance. What's deliverance, you ask? Well, that's the process of evil spirits, demonic spirits, sicknesses, that which came to oppress us, is cast out. And how are they cast out? They're cast out by the hand of Christians, doing the supernatural works of Jesus that they were commissioned to do in the Great Commission. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, excellent website. Or if you'd like to read a book and have a book in your inventory, Pastor Cox written is an excellent book called The Supernatural Works of Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that. He will certainly get it out to you. Well, Pastor, glad to be back on with you.
Yes, great to be aboard. Seems like it's been a long time now.
It does. Sometimes it sinks up, and sometimes it's like, wow. It seems like it's been forever since we've been on. It does make a difference. So I know that Monday night you didn't have any ministry because you never have them on Monday when next to any kind of a holiday. But I'm sure that you've been busy in between now and last time we talked. But before we get to any testimonies on that, I want to read a scripture. Proverbs 18:21. We know that we've said this several times. It's often quoted here on this program. But death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat and those who love it will eat its fruit. And you know that that scripture, I actually gave that to a friend this week, and I've spoken to three different people this week about forgiveness. And I use this proverb to help them understand that we have a choice. And this proverb is a choice. You have the choice to speak life, or you have a choice to speak death with your tongue. It's also talked about in James. But I look at it as forgiveness. You can choose to forgive with your tongue, or you can choose to unforgive with your tongue. Certainly do it with our thoughts, but there seems to be more power in the spoken word. And it's just basically, it's a choice. It's a choice of life. In life abundantly, or a choice of the enemy that wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy and oppress you when it comes to forgiveness. I just can't seem to stress it enough when I talk to people that that forgiveness there is for you. It's for you, and you have that choice. You can have life or you can have death. And I just wanted to mention that because I spoke about it so much the past week to three different people. And all three are all people that are struggling with forgiveness. One has been through deliverance. I know she has. And the two, I've been trying to encourage for some time to take deliverance. But they're just not ready yet, I guess.
It's so true. Ralph, it seems like the majority of the Christian churches don't seem to understand, and they're not even aware, in fact, like in Matthew 18:34-35, where Jesus said, if you do not forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And it's clear to us, he meant it. And not that he turns us ourselves, we do it automatically when we carry unforgiveness. So who are the tormentors? Well, of course, at Deliverance Ministries, we find most Christians that we minister to would have a good three dozen evil spirits tormenting them, and the majority of them, every time, they come through that unforgiveness door. Most everybody is not prepared and certainly not doing it and forgiving constantly when people do us wrong. Let's face it, if we're alive on this world, it happens. And so what are we going to do with it? Well, what we've learned that we have to do in order to maintain our freedom and not let these spirits come in on us is, of course, first off, forgive everybody that you feel have wronged you. A good way to do that is just come from birth up and asking the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to show us who it is we still need to forgive. And he'll bring names and faces to us. And then, of course, what about forgiving ourselves? That's his major door for these evil spirits to come through. And so that's the next one. Make sure they've forgiven themselves. And then so many still need to forgive God. They have blamed God for bad things that have happened in their life. They've never had any teaching, any training on Satan and his demons doing, stealing, killing, and destroying. So it's huge. It's so huge. You mentioned it's hard to get it out to everybody how major this forgiving is. As I see it, it blocks all the blessings of the new covenant. It's not worth it when by choice, and we're all made in God's image, we can choose to forgive anytime we want to. And of course,
right,
on Monday nights, I tell the people, if you want to be free of those what you circled on your list, those problem areas, then tonight is your night to choose and forgive them all, forgiving yourself, forgiving God if needed. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to choose and do it, you might as well leave now. It won't work. If it does, if we do cast some spirits out, they'll be back through the door.
Yes. And I explained to somebody that was talking about the doors, and she had talked about how she was still struggling with a few things. And I said, well, just because it's been cast out, she'd gone through deliverance. And I said, the door's closed. I said, you got to remember, doors open and closed. So if you don't continue working on keeping the door closed, it can easily open back up. And I said, the enemy will still try to aggravate you, knowing that those doors are easier in your life to open up. So it's just, no matter how many times it comes up, when you're this, especially when it comes to forgive us, it could be someone who, it could be someone who truly wronged you, and somebody that you have a right to be angry with. But there's consequences to forgiving and not forgiving. And one of the consequences of forgiving is the blessings of what can work with the Holy Spirit in your life, and could work in their life as well. But then there's also the consequences of choosing not to, and that would be the torment that comes with it. So it's just so important. And in fact, I'm just thinking, I talked about it with a fourth person, but she knows it really well. I was discussing some stuff with my mama. We were driving, and I was talking about my Uncle Ralph. I really don't remember him because he passed away when I was 10. And I was asking some questions about it because somebody had asked me about some things. And she talked about when she wasn't there when he passed away, and she was so angry at my stepfather at that time because he wanted to go out of town. And she just got worked up, and I just looked at her. I'm sitting there driving, looked at her, and says, sounds like me. It sounds like to me maybe you need to forgive him.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, I think you're right. And she made the choice right there. She made the choice to forgive. Actually, we talked about several people she needed to forgive on that. And I think it was a day later, she called me and said, who did we all talk about I had to forgive again?
Right.
Well, I reminded her, but she made that choice. She made that choice to forgive. And that's a choice that you make that you can never go wrong with. And if I talked to somebody else, I said, I don't care if you believe it or not, speak it. As long as you continue speaking it, you're speaking it out loud, you're making that choice with the tongue. It says right there, life and death and life are in the power of the tongue. We're not talking about thinking, we're talking about speaking here. If you speak it and say, you know, I don't care how rotten this person was to you, every time a negative thought comes up about that person, you can say, no, I forgive that person, and I even bless that person. It doesn't mean that person will never be held accountable. It doesn't mean anything like that. What it means is you become free.
Yeah.
Ralph, we haven't even talked about infirmities, a sickness. Over and over, we find that's the primary door that these sicknesses come through. I'm talking about major diseases and all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Richard,
worth it.
Richard, did we have our first caller and I missed the text?
No, I'm just enjoying the conversation and nodding my head yes here. That, yeah, absolutely, forgiveness, that turns it back over to God. It puts it back in God's hands to deal with that person.
Yeah.
And so many times that can lead to salvation for that person when they see.
Yep.
You know, the word tells us, it says, you know, what was it Jesus said about, you know, you love those that love you. Good. That's the way the heathen are, the unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be a little better than that. And the benefit that we get that I've noticed, I've learned that. I mean, I've read it before in the scriptures. But I sure learned that from your ministry, Pastor Cox, that you know what? You have to forgive. And I've had some people that have wronged me, that have lied about me, that have just wanted my destruction, you might say. And I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. You know, if Jesus can say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, as they're nailing him to the cross. Well, I haven't been nailed to the cross.
Yep.
Then I can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you're right, Ralph. You might not. If you speak it, that's a step in the right direction. It really is.
It is.
It is. Well, now we have our caller.
It is.
Let me bring the caller on.
Okay.
All right. Caller, thanks for calling, and welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks.
Hi, Joe. Can you hear okay?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe, I'm on. Ralph is on here with me up in the Branson area, and so glad you called in. I know you're excited to give your testimony. You mentioned that several times, so, and I'm anxious to hear it. So why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Joe, and when you were born again, what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and any manifestations, things that went on. So we'll go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I came to Christ back in 1989 through a home Bible study group we were having. I was about 19 years old, and I had the Holy Spirit come into me. No denying it. It was a remarkable experience. I accepted Christ. I was baptized, maybe two or three days after. I went on trying my best to be a good Christian. God put the love of my life, into my life, shortly after that. And, we got married, been married ever since. Almost 30 years now, two beautiful children, two beautiful grandchildren, went on living my life, had a career in the mechanical industry, staking in many places, been very successful, very blessed, but I always knew that I had something in me that just wasn't right. Experienced a lot of trauma in my life, a lot of losses, through God I've been able to keep, carrying on and moving on, but it's been real difficult. An old saying goes that any Christian that says he doesn't feel like he's under attack or the devil doesn't mess with him, that's not true. he's been after me for a long time. As a matter of fact, Frank, the gentleman that did that deliverance, he was able to manifest a demon by the name of Torment. He's been tormenting me since pretty much since birth. It was a generational curse that was brought on to my family, not only on my dad's side, but it was my mom's side as well. I learned about the deliverance ministry from my uncle, who's a chaplain for the Oklahoma City Police Department. I heard about it and waited about a year before I went. A year ago, actually, to the date, I think it was June. In June is when I went my second time, with June of this year. June of the year prior, 2020, was my first deliverance. Upon getting that deliverance, I learned more about what it is, trying to understand the demonic and spiritual warfare and all that that goes along with being under attack as a Christian. My first experience was great. The gentleman that did my deliverance the first time, he was able to get some demons, delivered. But I just felt after that year went on, I kept realizing in myself that there was something more that was that needed to be done, continuation of it. I personally think that the deliverance is something that, like I think Everett's mentioned before, it's a spiritual overhaul. And I needed a continual overhaul. Nothing's ever been easy with me. Things seem like to be pretty difficult. So I knew deep down inside there were still things lingering. Even though I did the I ams and the blessings and everything we're supposed to do to keep, you know, ourselves clean, keep ourselves doors closed. But I had to go back for a second time, and once I understood what was going on spiritually, I wanted to go back and get, I guess you'd say, tweaked. and that's what I did. The gentleman there, Frank, just a remarkable Christian, a man that's got a heart for God and saving souls. And Frank and Matt, they both walked me through the deliverance process, asking me questions, getting information from me, to where Frank was able to actually pin down the main demon, whose name was Torment. And with him, there was a couple other demons under him. These demons, I don't know, because I don't remember all that much about it, but Frank said that I actually started squirming a little bit in my chair, and that demon came out and told Frank that his name was Torment. He asked the demon what right do he have or it have to bother me, to enter into my life. And he said he had a legal right through a ritual that was performed with my father's family, who originally came from Italy. So there was some type of ritualistic tie that gave this demon the right to come into me. And it actually laughed. It laughed at one point. And I can't remember exactly what the demon laughed about. It was a snickering, kind of cynical, obviously, type of laugh. And I experienced a tremendous amount of pain. I've got a lot of neck and back issues, but while I was sitting there, I experienced a tremendous amount of pain. Frank put the Bible on my lower back and on my stomach, and the pain went away. During that process, I did see a warrior angel, and Frank said I was able to point to him, he actually had to prod the demon several times to get him to release all the details as to, you know, why and what he was doing to me. And basically it was just tormenting me all my life. Frank was, he was able to release that demon. Matter of fact, Frank had put a trash can under me at one point because I was actually coughing and acting like I was going to throw up. And when it was over, it was almost like I woke up from something. I had no idea what was going on. And I've been, it's been about 3 weeks now, 3 or 4 weeks, and I've been doing my I Ams, I've been doing my blessings, and I want to say that this is the first time in my life that I actually feel like I am God's, that I'm free. There is nothing controlling me, and I feel like a new child in Christ, it's a remarkable thing. I highly suggest that anybody that knows anybody that's having any kind of a problem, whether it's physical, mental, let people know about this deliverance ministry, because the power in the name of Jesus is remarkable. It is so powerful. And I've got several people that I've told about this, and I keep pushing. They're open to it. It's just making that commitment on Monday night to sit in front of a minister and learn about what it is to be delivered and receive.
Well, that's so awesome, Joe. And it does sound like you've got a Jesus overhaul. Amen.
Amen, brother.
And, you know,
yes, I did. Kinda, you know, Everett, like, the first time I did it, I felt like I ran a marathon. When I got home, I was so tired. I wore out. The second time, I felt more free. I felt like I weighed 100 pounds less when I left that than I did when I walked in. Folks, you know, don't be bashful. Put your pride aside, give yourself to God, and let these ministers heal you in the name of Jesus. And I promise you, it may take one time, it may take two, it may take several. But I'm telling you, every time you do it, it is a remarkable, it's a remarkable experience, and it's life changing. It definitely is life changing. And I thank Everett. I thank God. I thank Everett. I thank all those wonderful ministers that donate their time away from their families to help other families. I mean, they're helping other families. You think they're just helping you? They're not. They're helping families. And, you know, my family has seen a big difference in me. Like I say, I thank God, and I thank Everett for letting God use him along with all these wonderful ministers.
Frank obviously did a real great job with you there, Joe. I love Frank, and it's exciting for him to minister just like it is with me. We're all on highs when we finish ministering to someone and see their changes come, and of course that's extremely common. When you said you felt all this weight came off of you, we hear it all the time. People say, I feel like I feel lighter. But Frank has a good technique of working with the head demon. The head demon, I find I can only get it up in about 1 out of 3 people, even though it's there in every case. It's just that everybody is different in their sensitivities. The demon doesn't get up to the surface to where it can talk through the person. I really prefer it because, as Frank did with you, he was able to find out that curse that needed to be broken, that you said came through your mom's side. And, you know, everybody's got generational curses on them. we make a broad attempt to get them broken in the door closing prayer, but so often we have to fine tune when we actually sit down in ministry, and particularly if you can get the head demon up and find out if there's any doors that we did not get closed and all that. So that's really exciting. Well, Joe, you ought to think about going through our training and being one of our ministers.
I'm praying about that, Everett. I'm taking it to God. I take ministering with extreme sincere. Preaching the Word of God and doing that is something very serious, something I take very serious, and I want to make sure God's in it. And if that's the path He wants me to head down, then I'm doing it. I still got some things I think I'm working on, but I definitely been thinking about that and praying to the Lord about it. So. We'll see what he does.
The Lord will definitely let you know. And I knew right off I was going to be in it. When I saw the reality of a deliverance, I sat in on it. It was 43 years ago, and saw demons talk out of this Christian's mouth, and then I saw it was real. And heard how his life turned around, testimony. And that's when I decided I'm into it. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
I haven't stopped since. And it's been a glorious part of my life. I'm on this constant high that goes with ministering. And I could have missed all this if somebody had not shared with me. So we're really blessed to have ever heard about it in the first place, because, as you probably figured out, most Christians don't have the slightest about it.
No. I mean, I've been in church. They talk about demons, but nobody talks about delivering them. And that's the problem, I think, with a lot of our churches nowadays. It's, you know, they want you coming in feeling bad and coming out feeling good. And, you know, there's more to feeling good than you know, donuts, soda pop, and coffee. You got to get down and you got to get dirty. you got to get these demons out. And I just thank God for the deliverance ministries. I've got a friend that just came down with lupus, that just got told she has lupus, and, you know, I'm praying for her, and I'm trying to get her to come to Deliverance Ministries, and hopefully the Lord will burden her heart with it, and she will attend a Deliverance Ministries.
Joe, what you need to do is have her go to our website to testimonies. And there's a very interesting lupus deliverance that took place. You'll see, if you scroll down on the testimonies, you'll see lupus, and it's about 12 minutes long, a testimony of a woman that thought she was going to die with it, and she was set free in one session. All that happens, I would encourage her.
Oh,
have her
definitely,
go to the
Everett. Thank you for telling me about that. I will tell her. She actually works with my wife, and I am going to let my wife know about that, and I will get that in front of her.
Joe, we keep finding over and over, so many demons are actually responsible for these infirmities. You know, just as Jesus cast the spirit of infirmity out of a woman, and he said she'd had it for 18 years, put on her by Satan. And then, of course, Jesus commanded believers to do his same works. And Mark 16:17, for believers to cast out demons. Well, it's obvious we have the authority. You don't need any special gifts. It's for all believers. Any believer can do it. You know, once you're born again, then you have the power that goes with it from the cross to deal with these evil spirits. Well, we're out of time. Joe, it goes quickly. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. It was a great testimony and has to encourage others.
You bet. Thank you, Everett. God bless, guys, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
And, guys, we do have Stephanie ready. I'll bring her right in. Stephanie, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Hi, Stephanie. And Ralph is on here with me. That was Richard in the control room. And I'm so excited to hear your testimony. Why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and so forth. So just go right ahead.
Okay. So my name is Stephanie. I was saved about 12 years ago. I had been married already for about 5 years and was already pregnant with my third child. I have 6 children altogether. But at that time that I was saved, I was struggling with a lot of unforgiveness and bitterness. I was having nightly nightmares and had a lot of bad habits, like I was perpetually lying to everyone around me. And at that time, felt like I was a pretty terrible mother. But my husband actually shared the gospel with me. And when he did, he shared with me that when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see me anymore. He sees his son, Jesus. And also, he shared with me the victory that I could have in Jesus. And right there and then, I believed it. And really, that was my first experience with deliverance. I didn't know that that was what it was called. But God did a huge miracle in my life. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and my nightmare stopped. The bitterness and unforgiveness went away, and the terrible cycle of loving people and then hating them and loving them and hating them stopped. And so since 12 years ago, that has been a big part of my testimony, is the freedom that I got in Jesus. But about 3 years ago, a few incidences happened in the church that we had been a part of for about 8 years, and my husband and I decided that we needed to physically move away from the church, and so we moved 3 hours away. We live in New York, so we moved from Buffalo, New York, to Utica, New York, where we live now, and it was really to get away from the cult-like situation that we found ourselves in. It was really relationally and emotionally difficult to leave the church. And so what ended up happening at that point was the bitterness and unforgiveness that I had been freed from when I was saved resurfaced. And I couldn't really stop rehashing conversations and incidences in my head and memories all day long. It was really hard to live in reality. I felt like I was going completely crazy. I couldn't really focus on anything or really live in the day-to-day because I was so focused on what had happened. And I started having nightmares again, and they got more and more frequent until I was having them every night. And then at that time, I started having physical symptoms. At this point, I had 6 children, and I felt like I could hardly focus on them or enjoy them. So my physical symptoms started first with my toes and my fingers going numb, and then my feet and my hands and my legs and my arms, and my face went numb, and my face really hurt pretty much all day long, and my mouth and down into my throat went numb, and I had a really hard time swallowing. And then eventually my eye started hurting and going blurry, and I had a hard time breathing and even talking. Then about a year and a half ago, my husband started investigating the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which was what brought us down to Oklahoma City for a conference on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that was almost exactly a year ago today. So at the conference, my physical symptoms got worse, to the point where my husband went to go ask another person that we had met there to pray for me. And he prayed, and what happened was my symptoms didn't go away. My legs just went very, very cold. And that made me, that was pretty scary. I did not know what was happening. I didn't connect it with anything demonic or anything at that point. We just wanted to learn how to pray for people. And so that night, I had a particularly terrible night. I kept replaying an incident that had happened years before over and over all night long in my mind. And really what it was, as I was being tormented, I didn't get much sleep. And the next day at the conference, the speaker spoke on deliverance. And so that was actually my first exposure to deliverance ministry. And somebody at the conference, my husband asked them to pray for me again. And at that point, I started involuntarily moaning and almost screaming. And so the next thing I knew, I was with my husband in a side room across from one of actually your deliverance ministers, one that you work with. And because I had just learned earlier that day about the process of deliverance, I was actually very prepared for what was about to happen. So I learned about deliverance the same day that I experienced deliverance. And so that's just really testimony to how good God is. And in that moment, that's when I realized I was being demonically oppressed in some way. So during my deliverance, my symptoms kept moving around. So I would feel numbness in my hand, and then my hand would feel better, and then I would feel numbness in my leg, and my leg would feel numb better, and then my eye would start hurting again. And so that was a little strange, and I learned later that is referred to as an afflicting spirit. So it was more indicative of it being something demonic. And so what happened was, with every person that I forgave, the minister would then do deliverance with me. And I could physically feel demons getting caught up in my throat, and would end up doing the same sort of moaning and screaming involuntarily every time he prayed deliverance for me. And the minister helped me. Well, one of the things that we also did was the minister helped me by asking where Jesus was in that memory that was tormenting me from the night before, the one that I kept replaying over and over in my head. And so I took a moment, I prayed, I asked Jesus where he was, and I just got this vision of Jesus being right there in the midst of the incident that I was replaying. And actually, I that has stuck with me. If the enemy tries to bring it back, I still can see Jesus right in that room. And so that's been very helpful. One of the things that we prayed for was against the spirit of death. For whatever reason, I just had been perpetually thinking that I was just going to die at any moment. And so that was kind of a scary thing. But and another thing that he did do was pray for the angels to help in the deliverance. And I could physically feel sort of a stabbing when he asked for the angels to help. And so that was also, that was part of the deliverance. And obviously all these things helped to ultimately free me from what was causing me so much problems. And so the minister, it was amazing. He gave us 2, maybe more hours of his time. And this was during the conference that we were at, no less. And so when we finished, I didn't feel the peace that the speaker from earlier in the day said that I would feel after deliverance. But we came out into the sanctuary. There was many people there, and a man we had never met before came over, introduced himself to me and my husband, and immediately just started commanding demons to come out of me. And I let out one last dramatic moan / scream, and suddenly I felt at peace. And so since the deliverance, since that day down in Oklahoma City about a year ago, I have been free of nightmares completely, praise God. I have not been rehashing memories anymore. I can actually live in the present and interact with my kids. I'm no longer struggling with the bitterness and unforgiveness that I had been struggling with. I feel like I received the same freedom that I had received 12 years ago. And so, praise God, I really wasn't sure what to do for myself, but I also learned that I could have a very personal and intimate relationship with Jesus and ask him anything and talk with him, spend time with him. I developed quite a love for reading the Bible, which I actually never had before. And I really love telling my testimony. In fact, I got a chance to tell my testimony just earlier today, almost like practice for tonight. And I also really enjoy encouraging and praying for others. So my life has been completely different this past year. I've actually had opportunity to pray even deliverance for other people, sort of in the way that I've been loved and helped, I can love and help others. And I wasn't immediately healed of my physical symptoms, but God has assured me that he's healing me. And slowly but surely over the last year, my symptoms have gotten better. In fact, there was many months, maybe even up to a year, that I couldn't feel my toes, especially on my right foot. And I can actually feel my toes now, praise God. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Stephanie,
I know what
you covered. I just got to say, from not knowing anything about deliverance, think how much you've learned now.
We have learned a lot.
Yeah, and most Christians, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like now I'm more apt to pray for people when they're going through similar things that I've gone through, believing that they can also be set free. And so I tried for about a year and a half to just maybe de-stress my life and try to find help in ways that did not involve prayer, and it didn't really work. And so, yes, we've been investigating deliverance and how to pray for people since then so that we can help others.
Yeah, well, Stephanie, think where you'd be today if someone had not ministered to you in deliverance at all. Where would you be?
Well, I would not be where I am today. My husband and I were praying a lot for, we were desperate. We were praying a lot. And Hebrews 11 talks about how faith is knowing that he is God, but that he is also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we were not a part of a church community that talked about deliverance or even talked about our enemy being what the Bible says our enemy is. We're not warring against flesh and blood. And so I think that what he did was he rewarded our diligence in seeking him, and we found ourselves down in Oklahoma City surrounded by a Christian culture that we'd never even seen before. But he arranged it in such a way that we learned very quickly about the things that he wanted to do for us and how he wanted to set me free. And so God is very good. It's the same spirit in each of us that claims Jesus as Lord. And so we were claiming him as Lord, and the Lord was so good to us to lead us even though we had to drive from New York all the way to Oklahoma. He arranged it so that we were sitting across from a deliverance ministry during that time, and I didn't leave Oklahoma until I was completely set free.
Praise God. Well, so you live here in Oklahoma City now, right?
No, we live in Utica, New York.
Oh, okay.
And,
yes. Okay. Uh-huh.
The Christian friends that we know and love and our brothers and sisters here, they're very conservatively minded people. And so it's been a lot of fun to share our testimony. And in fact, what we're learning is that a lot of believers that haven't had opportunities to see these things or to learn about these things actually just need a context to share the stories that they do have. We actually, in sharing our testimony, have heard testimonies from other people that they too have received freedom from things, or they think themselves that they need deliverance, or they have a story of the Lord healing them, but they don't have a context to even share these testimonies. And so my husband and I have opened up our home on Saturday night. We just let anyone from around the city come over and join us and have some dinner, and we share testimonies and learn more about who the third person of the Trinity is and what a helper he is to us. And we pray for people and encourage others to also participate and pray for one another. And so it's been a very, very exciting year, and the Lord has done a lot.
Wow. I'll say, and as you freely received, you're freely giving now, and trying to disciple others. That's exactly what the Lord has in mind for everybody. So that's so awesome. That's a wonderful testimony. Praise God. You covered a lot of ground from the start to finish there. But look at the education that you got through all that, even with yourself. That was a learning process for you as well. So now with what you've learned, you can help others. Well, we're out of time. Stephanie, thank you so much for that wonderful testimony. You're a blessing.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Good testimonies. Both had a lot of excitement in their voice, and you could just tell the difference in them just by hearing. That freedom can be yours. They have found a freedom in Jesus, a freedom in their Christianity walk they haven't had before. And you can have it too. Go to deliveranceusa.com or get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Both of them are excellent tools. You can help. You can do self-deliverance if need be. Or you could contact and try to schedule and get a session set up. I do thank everybody for joining us again. That's Wednesday evening, Pastor. This hour went by quick. But it does when they got good testimonies. But we thank everybody for joining us this evening. We look forward to seeing you next week. Have a good night, and God bless.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the
enemy, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.